This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Better Together. In this series, Rick takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and shows us how to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships with the people around us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. In it, you'll discover how God provides the power you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How We Help Each Other Grow.
Now here's the third practical way that you can help people grow. Your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, anybody. You help them grow by showing affection. Affection. I'm talking about physical touch. Now, we've all read about babies and the failure to thrive syndrome. That means that little infants, if they are not stroked, if they're not caressed, if they're not touched as they grow up, they don't develop. They don't grow the way that God intended for them to grow. Babies have to be touched. I think that's why he made them so soft. Because you want to touch them. You want to nuzzle them. You want to hold them close. And they need that stimulation of skin in order to grow and develop. Now, most people know that. It's called the failure to thrive syndrome. What most people don't know is adults need it too. UCLA did a study a while back and discovered that to be a healthy, fulfilled, satisfied adult, you need 8 to 10 meaningful touches every day. Say, boy, I'm getting cheated. You do. Handshakes, hugs, pat on the back, a little squeeze. You were made for being touched. Whether you ever marry or not, whether you ever have sex or not, you need touches in your life in order to grow and to be all that God wants you to be. And yet, I talk to a lot of people, sometimes on the patio, who say, you know, Rick, the only physical affection I get all week is at church. When you say, turn around and hug somebody, or turn around and shake hands with somebody, or give somebody a pat on the back, they say, that's all I get all week. When I'm out on the patio and I hug somebody, I often wonder, how long does that hug have to last that person? Most of you know I'm pretty famous for hugging, because if you get in my way, you're going to get hugged. And that's why I know why some of you leave early. Because you're chicken, okay? I see you up there in the bleachers, you know, last song, you side out because you think, I'll get out before Rick gets out here. But you can run, you can't hide. I'm going to get you eventually. You're going to get hugged. Everybody stand up right now. Oh, you say, oh, no. Oh, everybody stand up. Come on, stand up. Okay, stretch. Everybody stretch. Go ahead, stretch. Okay, touch your toes. Touch your neighbor's toes. Okay, I want you to turn around and I want you to hug a total stranger. Go ahead. Turn around, hug a total stranger. All right, sit down. Okay, sit down. Now I know that there were two reactions to what we just did. Some of you are thinking, I'm never going back to that church again. And the smarter ones are thinking, next week I'm sitting by somebody cute. Okay, so Pastor Rick, do it again next week, and I'll be ready next time. Okay. Being a professional hugger myself, I have learned that there are different ways to hug. Tom, come up here. Come here. Come here. We're going to do a little demonstration here. Okay? Now, the first... Just relax. Okay. The first kind of hug is what men do when they really are kind of scared to hug. It's the three-pack pat hug, and it goes like this. And while you're patting, you say this in your mind. I'm not a sissy. Okay? But you do. It's like this. Let's get this over. Okay? And so that way you're kind of in a manly, macho kind of way you hug. Okay, the other way is a Hollywood hug. The Hollywood hug is when you kind of kiss the air on either side, looking over their shoulder to see if anybody more famous is there that you can go after instead of this person. Okay, you sit down, okay. I won't do the rest. Look at this next verse, Romans 12:10. Oh, brother. Romans 12:10, let's read it aloud together. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family. Hey, we're family. We're all in the family of God. You're my sister. You're my brother. Brothers and sisters show affection to each other. You got to show it, not just say it. It's not just enough to tell people or say you love them. They need to feel it. They need to feel it. And if you love others in God's family, you need to show it and make a habit of hugging, of touching, of, you know, giving a firm grip, of a pat on the back, an attaboy, you know, just, you know, whatever it takes to just give them a word of encouragement that says, you know what, I love you. And we're togetherness. It's not enough just to say it. People need to be touched and they need hugs. So this week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go all over the county and hug everybody. And if they look really weird at you, just say, my pastor asked me to do this. Okay? Now, here's the fourth way. By showing acceptance, showing attention, showing affection, and showing appreciation. We affirm each other's worth with appreciation. Now, appreciation means to raise in value. That's what, if you've bought a home in Orange County, you know the meaning of the word appreciation. It goes up in value. If you've ever bought a car, you know the meaning of depreciation. You'll lose in value. The moment you drive it off the lot, it's not worth as much as you bought, paid for it. Every time you appreciate somebody, you raise their value to you and to others. When you appreciate your wife, you raise her value. When you appreciate your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or a friend, you raise their value. When you appreciate your kids, you raise their value. When you appreciate your small group, you raise its value to you. Everything you appreciate increases in value. Now, look at this next verse. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, appreciate those who work hard among you, who lead you in the Lord and teach you. Now, when was the last time you thanked a Sunday school teacher? If you have children over in All Stars, today, when this service is over, before you leave this campus, find three people to appreciate. If you got somebody in All Stars, go over and thank one of the teachers. Thank you for teaching my kids. Thank the ushers. Thank the greeters. Thank the traffic people. Thank the people who set up the tables. You know, it takes about 1,000 people just to pull off a weekend here at Saddleback. Thank the musicians. And you don't have to thank me because I know you appreciate me, except those of you who are afraid I'm going to hug you. But you can find people to express appreciation to. And then this week, I am naming this Host Appreciation Week. So when you go to your small group this week, I want you to really show appreciation to your host. Buy him a car. Okay? Just buy him a car and appreciate your host and tell him how much you love them and how much you appreciate their opening your home. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
There's another way that we can all help each other grow, and that is by praying for each other's growth. By praying for each other's growth, by doing what this guy named Epaphras did in Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, Paul wrote, always prays for you, that you will grow to be spiritually mature. That guy is a hero to me. I don't know about you. I look at it, it says he always prays for you. I don't know about you, but prayer is hard for me. I think it should come naturally. It doesn't for me. I mean, I have to make time, I have to set aside time. I think it's that way for most people. So he impresses me that he took the time, he had the discipline to always take time to pray for people. But I also love the fact that he prayed for people's spiritual growth. And we usually pray for people's needs. They have health needs and financial needs, and we should. But we don't spend nearly enough time praying for people's spiritual growth. That our character will change, because that's going to last. I think one of the reasons probably is we don't know what to pray about. How would I pray for somebody's spiritual growth? Well, fortunately, the Bible is filled with verses about how to pray for somebody to grow spiritually. In fact, the next six verses in your outline are prayers for people's spiritual growth. And, well, I'll tell you what. Instead of me reading these and telling you what they mean, let's spend a few minutes just doing what these verses say. There's people in your life you'd like to pray for their spiritual growth. People in your group, your family, your friends. Let me just share these verses with you, and as I do so, let's pray for them right now. Bring their name to mind and say, yeah, God, they could use that. Help them in that area. For instance, this first verse from Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. Who could you pray this verse for? I pray that you'll be able to feel and understand how long, wide, deep, and high Christ's love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. Who do you know that needs God's love in their life right now? That's maybe struggling a little bit. Well, bring their name to mind and say, God, show them your love. Let them know today how much you really love them. I have a feeling that these prayers we're praying right now are going to have a lot more impact than anything Rick or I say today. That's the power of prayer, to make a difference in people's lives. Who do you know that you need to pray the next verse for? Hebrews 13, 21. I pray that you'll always be eager to do what is right. Parents, wouldn't you like to pray that for your kids? I mean, really? That they not only do what was right, but they'd be eager to do the right thing? Well, pray for them right now. Or some friend, somebody at work. God, give them integrity. Just bring their name to mind. God, I pray for them. Or how about this next one, Romans 15, 13. Let's read this together. I pray God, who gives hope, will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in Him. Who wouldn't like some hope in their lives? Who doesn't need more joy, more peace in their lives? Well, you see, the foundation of it all there is that you trust in Him. So say, God, I know somebody who needs some hope. Help them to trust in you during this difficult time. I know somebody who needs some joy. Help them to trust in you so their heart can be lifted up. Just bring their name to mind right now. Or this next verse where the Bible says, I pray God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Who do you know that's facing a decision? Ask God to give them His wisdom right now. He says He'll give it if we ask. Well, you pray on their behalf. Pray for their growth. Or the next verse, 2 Thessalonians 3, 5. I pray the Lord will guide you to be as loving as God and as patient as Christ. First of all, anyone got that one down yet? Anybody here as loving as God? Anybody here as patient as Christ? We're just not there yet. But we can pray for each other that we'll grow the rest of our lives to get closer to that. Who needs some of God's love? Who needs some patience in their lives right now? Pray that verse for them. Bring their name to mind right now. Or this next one. Who do you know that's feeling pretty overwhelmed by life? Who do you know that maybe doesn't feel like they're going to make it or feels like they're having to do everything on their own energy, own power? Pray this verse for them. Ephesians 3, 16. I pray that God may strengthen you with power through His Spirit. Bring their name to mind and say, God, help them to know they're not alone today, that you'll give them strength and power. Now, we just prayed individually for a lot of people, and there is power in that. But there's even more power when we pray together, when you get in a group of other people and pray. And I want to encourage you to do that in your group. Pray for each other's spiritual growth. And as you're doing that, just a couple of real quick suggestions. First of all, make it a priority. You know, if you're in a group and you're going to pray and you wait till the end of the meeting to do that, you never get around to it. There's 4 minutes left. You don't have enough time to pray. So some weeks, start with prayer. May take most of the meeting, but what better way to meet than to pray for each other, pray for each other's growth. So make it a priority. And then secondly, I want to encourage you, when you pray with other people, to do it a little bit differently than we usually do. Pray conversationally. If you've been in any group that prays, you know, we usually do it like this. This person talks for about 3 or 4 minutes and says what they want to say. Then the next person in the circle talks for 3 or 4 minutes, says what they want to say. We pray like this, don't we? Then the next person, then the next person. We don't talk like that. I mean, if you're having a conversation, this person says a sentence, this person says a sentence, this person interrupts, this person says, oh yeah, I was thinking about that too. Try praying like that. God's there in the room. You can talk to Him like a person. So try praying like that. Some of you look at me like, that's not going to work for our group. Never going to work. Sure, it'll work. Just do it to do something different. And here's the way to make it work. Make sure at the beginning you say, okay, nobody can pray more than a sentence at a time. Just one sentence. If they pray more than a sentence, kick them. In an affirming way, but kick them, all right? And you pray one sentence, and you pray about one thing for a while. You all pray together. This will help some of you who have never prayed with other people. You can just say, yeah, me too, God, on that one. And that'll help you to pray also. And everybody can get together and pray together for one another's spiritual growth. So make it a priority and pray conversationally, and you'll see some incredible things happen in your group as you pray together.
Now look at the verse on the back of your outline. Romans 15, 5 says this. May God develop maturity in you so that you all get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us. Notice that the test of maturity is relationships, not content or knowledge, but relationships. Knowledge is important, but it says that ultimately maturity is the ability to get along with other people. If you have a hard time getting along with other people, it says one thing. Guess what? You are immature. If you're always worried about other people, if you're always threatened by other people, if you can't get along with other people, you have an immaturity problem, and you need to grow up. God says as he develops maturity in us, we get along with each other just as Jesus gets along with us. Now, that's why we're doing 40 days of community. That's why we're doing small groups. The purpose is to learn to get along with each other. The purpose is to learn to build relationships, learning how to love. Now, there is a secret ingredient that builds community faster than anything else, and it is this, number three, by admitting our mistakes. By admitting our mistakes, we build community, intimacy, relationships faster than any other way. Ephesians 4:25 says this, tell each other the truth because we all belong to each other. Tell the truth about yourself, your fears, your doubts, your hang-ups. Now, let me see. Confession does not mean just confessing your deep, dark sins. Confession just means admitting what's going on in your life. You know, I'm having some doubts today. You admit, that's confession. You know, I'm worried about such and such. That's a confession. You know, I'm feeling a little lonely today. That's a confession. You know, I'm having a hard time forgiving that person. That's a confession. You know, I just don't know why, but I feel depressed. I feel discouraged today. That is a confession. And when you are honest about what's going on in your life and you're not blaming anybody else for it, it draws you closer to them and those closer to you. Now, why in the world would anybody do that? Why would anybody risk honesty? Because it's worth the risk. God says there are four benefits of being honest about our mistakes, about our feelings, our faults, our fatigue, our failures, our fears. There are four benefits, and you only get these benefits when you're honest with one other person or a group. Here they are. Number one, emotional healing. Emotional healing comes from being honest with other people about what's going on in your life. James 5:16 says this, admit your faults, read it with me, to one another. Circle that. Notice it doesn't say admit them to the priest. It doesn't say admit them to a pastor. It doesn't say admit them to God. It doesn't say admit them to a counselor. It says admit them to each other. And that's your group. Pray for each other so that, read it with me, you may be healed. Now everybody look up here because this is extremely important. There is a big difference between forgiveness and emotional healing. They are not the same. They are not. Forgiveness, if you need forgiveness for something in your life, all you need to do is confess it to God. You don't have to tell anybody else. Confess it to God and you are forgiven. But a lot of people, after they've confessed to God, they still feel guilty. They still feel hung up. They still can't let it go. They still feel emotionally scarred. Why? They haven't done this part, telling it to somebody else. God has wired the universe in such a way that emotional healing comes not from telling God, he already knows it, but from telling somebody else who doesn't know it. That's where emotional healing comes from. Now, I'm not making this up. This is what God says. Confess your faults to one another. Not to God, to one another. And you will be healed. You want forgiveness? You confess it to God. You want healing? You want to get let go of that pain? You want to get it behind you? You want to stop having to think about it? You need to tell it to somebody else. That thing you've kept as a secret your entire life. Now, you don't have to tell everybody. In fact, I don't recommend that. Don't tell everybody. But you need to tell somebody. A small group of trusted individuals or a spiritual partner who can pray with you. God has wired us that way that we need to tell others. The second thing you get when you do this is a fresh start. Not only emotional healing, but you get a fresh start. In Proverbs 28:13, the Bible says, anyone who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Now, this is why I love Celebrate Recovery so much in our church. 7,500 people in our church have gone through Celebrate Recovery over the past years. And those people, many of them, are now the leaders of this church. Why? God wants to take the worst thing in your life, heal you of it, and turn you into a leader and a person of influence. That's what he does. There is nothing that has happened in your life that God can't use for good, but you have to be honest about it. You have to share it with somebody. You have to get it off your chest.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive hope and encouragement every day delivered right to your inbox, then sign up for Rick's free daily devotional by going to PastorRick.com right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? Pastor Rick says throughout all the years he's been a pastor, the number one question he's been asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck, and maybe you feel that way too. In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that you can take from where you are to where you want to be. This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a word of encouragement.
Now this week, I want to encourage those of you who are in a small group to spend a little bit of time talking about how you can not just study together and fellowship together and worship together, but how you could serve together. Find a project that will take you to a deeper level of fellowship by serving together. Thanks for listening today. You know I love you, I care for you, and I'm praying for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.